Good day. You are listening to a podcast. But this isn't just any podcast. Just any podcast couldn't do this. Or this. What the? This is the podcast. Starring the Ted's. Starring the Ted. Star. The. Starring the Ted Smith and Cobb.
The podcast starts.
You better wear a helmet now.
All right. Welcome back to another episode of the podcast. I'll be the host of this here podcast, the Ted Smith, greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
Up there in the top square, come to us live from Austin in an exclusive closet. What's my name? Cobb, what's going on?
It's a walk-in. Boys, good to see you. Let's kick the tires and light the fires. Let's grip and rip it today. I'm ready.
All right, down there in the bottom square, I mean, just looking beefy, looking good in his tank top. Matt Comer, the producer, MCTP. What's up, Matt?
Hey, Ted. It's hot down here in the desert, and, you know, June's the best time, though. I love it. It just barely breaks 100 or high 90s in the afternoon, and it's been lovely.
Oh, we're full-fledged Junuary up here.
Oh, no.
Yeah, but Cobb, don't worry. It ends today.
I saw when I land, it's like supposed to be 70 tomorrow, so like fingers crossed.
Nice. It ends today. Like by
it's
the time
104, I can't do a 34 degree swing. I'm not ready.
Well, I mean, it's still gonna be a little chilly at night for you. You're gonna need to bundle up there, fella. I would bring pants.
Dude, honestly, I have a parka stationed up there, like a full on, like goes down to my knees parka for all these types of events. Because when I'm up there, I'm typically working outside.
So if I see you Thursday, you'll be in a parka and I'll be in shorts.
Yeah, we should get a picture. I will definitely be in my parka, or at least have it with me.
All right, where do we want to start this week? First, I got to bring it up. I mentioned it to Cobb beforehand. Matt, have you ever seen Chris Stapleton in concert?
No, sir.
Okay, so I went on Saturday night, Lumen Field, football stadium. First, it was Little Big Town. Pretty cool show. I don't know a ton of Little Big Town songs. So I waited in the merch line to buy some George Strait shirts. So I missed most of them. Now, at this point, we've been having fun. Like, I'll just full disclosure, boys, I'm sitting in a suite. All right.
Big
beverages.
Time. Big time, baby.
Right. And you guys, you've sat in the suite life. Like, for whatever reason, everybody's kind of hangs out in like the place you can kind of stand. And well, because where the drinks are.
Yeah.
So Stapleton starts going. I'm like, I just go down to the front row and I'm like, is anybody actually sitting here? And it's like a couple. They're like, no. There's a girl once in a while it's next to us, but nobody sat on the end there. And I'm like, oh, all right. This is
like, I'm not here to network. I'm here to watch the music.
Yeah. And Stapleton fucking crushed it. Mm-hmm. I would say hands down the best singer I've ever seen live in my life.
Wow. Hands down the best. Wow.
Wow.
You've seen a lot too. Damn. Nice.
I mean, maybe I would pull that back with because I saw Temple the Dog.
I mean, dude, he's an amazing singer live. I wasn't going to jump in on this, but I saw him at Coda once, the Circuit of the Americas, the F1 track, and he has incredible pipes. You're not wrong. I mean, it stood out.
Yeah. And like George Strait was freaking awesome. He played for 2.5 hours, but like Stapleton just walked out and was like, saw the set list for King George. That's what they call him, boys. And he's like, so I'm not going to talk a lot. And he just started playing. And I mean, just started crushing it. By the time Tennessee Whiskey came on, I wouldn't say I was going to tear up, but I was, as the kids say, I was in the feels, in my feels.
Getting a little misty.
Oh, dude, it was so good. I mean, I can't explain it. I was like, this might be one of the best singers. Like, it just or just concert. Like, he sounds like every record you've ever heard. That's what he sounds like in person.
Yeah, and those records too. You know, I mean, they have so much like audio mixing and whatever over them that you rarely get somebody who sounds like that. You know, that like pristine in concert. I'm like, yeah, I don't know, man. That's cool. And of course, the power of music to really move you, you know, moments like that. I feel like it really makes it worth being a fan, just of music in general, you know, of all the concert tickets you bought and stuff.
Yeah. And I've been to a ton of shows. Now, again, I'm talking about a singing performance by those two guys. Like, I've been to some Metallica shows and Tool shows that like kind of were better shows with like pyro and this and that. Cause like George Strait's pretty straightforward, but those dudes can just sing. And like, I was just like, this is freaking awesome. Like, I mean, I couldn't sit down. Your boy was all fired up.
That's awesome, man. I mean, yeah, Chris Stapleton's just world class. You know, when I saw him, same thing. I was just like, yep, that guy deserves to be a world famous country singer. I'll tell you right now. That guy, boy's got talent. Like, I remember the same thing with Jay-Z. I saw him at ACL and he performed solo, nobody else on stage. And it was just like, he played 10 top 10 songs in a row. And I was like, yeah, he still got it. You know, what do you want me to say?
Yeah, I saw Jay-Z years ago after years of kind of hating on him. And same thing. I was like, holy shit. Like, it was just him and he had like a round stage. And like on one, like what would be a little orchestra pit was like his DJ. Then the other orchestra pit had like a drummer and some guitars, and he had like four of those around the stage.
Ted, why are you hating on Jigga Man?
He's got a lot of bad stuff out there too.
Yeah, he's a results by volume guy.
Correct. And I respect him. I don't know. Like the Black Album, phenomenal. Reasonable Doubt, one of my favorite rap CD or albums of all time. But hey, the point is, Cobb, I was wrong. All right. That's the point. I was wrong.
Dude, someday people will say that about this podcast. They're like, look, they got a lot of garbage out there, okay? But episode 143, episode 263, 267, you know, like, there's a couple bangers out there, boys. We got a couple hits.
I like Matt just looks lost. Like, it's a lot of country, Ted.
I'm impressed. You know, it's good to see. I'm wondering, did the interest in this, like, the first time I heard you talking about country was the Kenny Chesney concert.
Correct. But at that point, I was just going for the views. I didn't even go to the concert.
Right. So I guess my question, you know, how were the views?
All right. Views were good, but it's not Kenny Chesney. It's
not Kenny Chesney. Okay, that's what I was wondering.
Right? Kenny Chesney, it's a different level.
Yeah. Chesney's a different level. Also, Chesney is smart enough to play like July. Like Saturday was not a great day. It was like kind of misty during part of the day. Like when I showed up at my buddy's house, it was just straight up raining. And same thing last year when I went to Luke Combs. It was like, it's just raining. Yeah. Kenny plays in July and like people are there to party. This was, don't get me wrong, there was still a ton of hot cowgirls and there, and like everybody's in boots and cowboy hats. How do you boys feel about this? I didn't have a cowboy hat, but I put on a Bass Pro Shop hat.
Wow.
I feel like it depends on what message you're trying to send and to whom. But I don't...
Says I'm country.
I don't hate it from the jump. I'll say that. So down in... Well, I don't know. What do you think, Matt?
I have some questions. Is this like a trucker hat with like a curved bill situation I'm envisioning?
I mean, I'll send it to you guys right now.
It's not a flat brim fitted.
No.
You know, like you rocked those for a decent portion of your life, right?
Correct. I still rock a lot of flat brims, like snapbacks.
Yeah, now
right, I'm sending you a picture of me and George Strait. So I kind of had more of like he's not a cowboy, but he's pretty country.
He's in the culture. Yeah.
Right? Wait, true or false? He owns a fishing pole. True. Now, some people said it's hard to be country when you're still wearing Air Maxes.
Ted, I mean, and you've got some camo on too, it looks like. You know, I've said it before, Ted. I think you have a great look and the beard is great and everything. But we've seen a lot of people, you know, sort of copying the Ted archetype walking around Seattle. Like for a long time, it was the cargo shorts and the backpack and whatnot. I will say what I've said before is like you are always borderline Aryan race, like a skinhead North Idaho type look for somebody who doesn't know you. And the Bass Pro Shop is not helping your case. The Air Maxes are. The Air Maxes tells me that you're down with the culture, but the Bass Pro Shop hat with the beard and the camo, I don't know, fella, borderline outfit for me. I'm going to give it a 7 out of 10. But I think we're in the right ballpark. I think maybe like some some orange, like that neon hunter camo or something, maybe. I think it's got to be a little more streetwear and a little less like North Idaho.
All right. But in my defense, that is a fleece jungle camo. So with the Air Maxes, and I had on a different hat, I was looking pretty city.
And yeah, then, you don't look particularly country in this. I think only to the casual observer.
The problem is, man, everybody, I didn't realize this, like, right? Because I went with my friends that I know and you went to college with. Like, I get over there, then all of a sudden, everybody's putting on belt buckles and cowboy hats. And I was like, ooh, all right.
Well, that's what I was going to say is, like, you know, these country shows have crazy turnouts and everybody's all decked out in their country gear. And I just don't see that many cowboys walking around, you know, the rest of the time. And so it's almost maybe there's a level of fake countryness that people are putting on for the show, which I'm not, no judgment on that here, if it sounds like it. But the point is, like, Ted, you're still playing it like, hey, look, I could be wearing this. This could be my typical Friday, Saturday attire right here. We know it's not, but you look like it could be.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I live in the city, but hey, I'm a little bit country.
Matt, here's the thing. Metalheads don't always wear black. I mean, you're wearing a white West Coast tank top right now, you know?
West Coast Cannabis Club.
And would you wear it to a show? Actually, I'm not going to ask that question. The three of us would wear whatever the fuck we want to any show. Yeah. Well,
and, very comfortable and, with my attire.
Matt, I was going to say, you were asking where the cowboys are in the light of day, or maybe that was Ted. Yeah. No. Right here, baby. Marlboro belt buckle. Marlboro? I just pulled it off my shelf. Ted, I got your back. I got 20 of these at like a random, like the largest like swap meet in America. It's so, for people who are listening, it is the Texas Lone Star in the background with a Longhorn bull in the middle. And then it says Marlboro across the top. And it's like a big oval Texas style belt buckle.
So yeah. Sick.
I could have used that on Saturday. Anyway, plus, I mean, look.
Just let me know.
Nobody else was in shorts. That's what I'm saying. Like, my buddy Russ, he has cowboy hats. I've seen him wear them. But, like, a lot of people I talked to that day, I was like, I like your hat. They're like, yeah, man. And look, I was that guy last year at Luke Combs. I had a cowboy hat from the first time I went to Burning Man with Cobb. So I was like, oh, sure, I'll wear it. But then, yeah, I was out in the piss and rain all night, so it got moldy. Anyhow, point is, I would have been a fake cowboy, but I was, you know, I'm a city cowboy. Actually, I'm not a cowboy. I'm just a little bit country. And I'm not country at all.
Right. Wait, Ted, I wasn't fully listening. Were you talking about the giant cowboy hat? Or no?
No, remember I got that one that lady made me.
Because I was going to say, that actually was cool. She like put it in the water and like sized it to your head. What I was going to say is one of your greatest hitter costumes of all time is like the like ridiculous novelty oversized foam cowboy hat at Burning Man. I don't know why, but that thing, especially with the Europeans, just absolutely killed. And everyone thought you were from Texas.
And Matt Cobb, when I was buying it, he's like, I don't know, man, that seems a little crazy. And I'm like, trust me, people love these things.
They did. It owned. It was great.
And every time I ran into somebody else with one, it was like, yep, right, that's why everybody called me Big Tex and Tex.
Yeah, Tex. That was awesome, dude. That was a great outfit.
Yeah, Matt, the last day or one of the last days, I pull out an American flag bathing suit. Right, they're just like, what comes with that bathing suit? I think it was Cobb. It was like, oh, that one comes with a gun.
A gun and a deed to a trailer, baby.
Either way, so I mean, all right, so Matt, to answer your questions, now this podcast is about me listening to the country. So I went to Kenny Chesney years ago and was just like, oh, I should go to this concert because I like blonde country girls. Then I guess probably around a little bit right before the pandemic, I started hanging out with a buddy and he started turning me on to like Morgan Wallen and Luke Combs. And I was like, well, I can get down with these songs. And then like, I just kept listening to more and more. And then it was like, all right, I know more country than I think. And then one year on Christmas Day, Veggie Dog, as I know him, or Jason, your old boss, we were sitting at his house drinking whiskey and he starts putting on, he puts on George Strait, Amarillo by Morning. And I'm just like, right. And like, it's Christmas Day. I've been drinking all day. I'm like, who the hell is this? He's like, you don't know George Strait? I'm like, I don't think so. Now, it turns out I did know like my exes from Texas, that song. But Yeah, we just sat there for hours listening to George Strait. So that's how I got into him. And then you listen to enough George Strait and Luke Combs, you're going to find your way to Mr. Stapleton. And plus, he would do duets with Timberlake. So that's where I first saw him.
Well, and wow. You also were a Lil Wayne fan at some point, right? You like his music or no?
I did. Yeah.
He has that classic line. He's like, all my exes live in Texas like I'm George Strait. Or they go to Georgia State where, you know what I mean? The beginning of that song.
True or false, after that song, I said, you know, the most ironic thing is like a lot of my Texans do live in Texas. And these people were like, really? Like, I didn't know that. And I was like, I'm lying. I've been to Dallas once. And I was like, did not hook up with any girls. God was there. He remembers.
Oh, you know what? I think that wasn't. Honestly, we had a great time. And I just remember we have like one photo together with like a hot Dallas chick that we sent all over the place. I think that line actually wasn't. I think it was Drake that said that.
But that makes more sense.
Yeah, it was for hell yeah, effing right.
All right. Either way, if you get a chance, I've told everybody. If you get a chance to go see Chris Stapleton, go see him. It was that fucking good.
Yeah, his voice is pretty unparalleled. Kind of magic.
And he's a baller, right? So like George Strait, keep in mind, boys, they're only doing 7 of these shows across the country. So like, wow. The other shows are like in Florida. There's one at the Horseshoe in Columbus. So, like, how Seattle got picked is kind of blowing my mind.
The shoe is huge, too.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I was like, this is awesome. But Stapleton's a beast. He played Thursday in Spokane, Friday night down in Bend, and then came up here and played the Big Show on Saturday.
Wait, he's only doing 7 of those shows, and he did Bend and Spokane? Oh, I see. It's different. Yeah.
Right, so George Strait's only doing 7 of these shows because he's, like, mid-70s. He's like, and he doesn't have.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Stapleton's like, well, if we're going on tour with you, I might as well get in some shows.
Yeah, if we're going to do it, go do it. Bed has that cool stadium, too, right on the river. Or not, stadium's the wrong word, amphitheater.
Yeah, yeah. Trust me. I was like, oh, I would have loved to see him in Bend. Maybe I'm going to be one of those guys, a staplehead.
Is that what they're called?
No, I have no idea.
The staplers?
The staplers.
We're all staplers. That's how we met.
It's my third show. I'm a stapler.
And a stapler for years.
Oh, all right. You know what else country fans like? Jello shots.
Ooh.
We have Jello shots update, boys, from the College World Series.
Dude, I was so pumped to read that email. Did he send it to both of us?
Did I send it?
No, did he send it to both of us?
Who's he?
Wait. No, you go ahead with your update. I'm sorry.
Oh,
I thought you were talking about an email we received with an update on the shot count.
I did not. But I was texting with somebody that gave me an update, and Bro Bible had a good story today. So last year, Ole Miss set a record. LSU has already beaten the record. But you got to keep in mind, Ole Miss was in the loser's bracket and had to play like all 3 days of the championship at the end of the week. So those Ole Miss fans had been there for a week and a half. LSU's already shattered the record, and like they got to play Wake Forest tomorrow.
Wait, let me stop you for a second. For people who didn't listen last week, so it's Rocco's Jello Shot Challenge, right? So at the home of the College World Series, which I think you said was in Omaha, and
different Omaha, Nebraska.
People come into this bar and they'll drink Jello shots on behalf of their school. Not like I thought, which I thought it was the team drinking shots, which. Sounds ridiculous in hindsight, but I don't really know baseball. So
college baseball.
Wait, so what's the up? How's it going?
So LSU is just dominating, but I think there's some controversy here.
Really?
Correct. Hang on, I'm looking up the last number. Yeah, LSU fans are up to, they're over 18,000.
Wow, the last number, I'm looking at a screenshot that somebody sent us, and they were only at 12,325 at that point.
Yeah. So here's what I think is a little suspicious. Are you familiar with the chicken strip joint Raising Cane's?
I was there 2 days ago, my guy. I was there 2 days ago.
Is the sauce that good?
Yeah, cane sauce? Yeah. I'm a caniac, dude. Not only am I a stapler and a staplehead, but I'm a caniac. I've had multiple, I don't know what to say, multiple urban gentlemen with good authority tell me that that's the best chicken here.
See, I've read different things, right? Because my Instagram is full of people eating food and making food and hot chicks.
Eating food, eating pussy, something, you know? Jesus, Ted. Ted, you are a man's man, dude. God damn. Like, anytime I forget, I just look at those blank ass walls in your apartment and your Instagram feed, and I know, dude, you are a guy's guy, and I love that about you.
Some people say the best thing about Cane's is the sauce. But the chicken, it's the best chicken finger, but they don't serve regular fried bone-in chicken, right?
Dude, they deal with, honestly, as a small businessman, I have a lot of respect for their business because they keep it simple, which is what we try to do at the popcorn shop. We have only four flavors. Raising Cane's literally sells three things. They sell chicken fingers, they sell fries, and they sell buns. And you can get a basket of chicken fingers with fries. You can get chicken fingers on a bun with fries. You can get chicken fingers on a bun with no fries. Like, it's just all combinations of like those three elements. But there's like 20 items on the menu. It's just those three things remixed. Like, you can get 20 fingers, you can get 50 fingers, you can get like just like, it's crazy, dude. But yeah, they just sell three things. Keep it simple, baby.
See, Raising Cane's is like this like mythical place to me. Like, I've never been in one. Like, there's none around here. Like, I don't even think they make it up to like Maryland and stuff. It's like,
oh yeah,
is it just Texas? I know it's pretty southern.
No, it's like spread throughout the South. I think maybe it's originally from like Tennessee or somewhere kind of over there, but yeah, they keep it pretty southern. And you know, I would love to own a Raising Cane's franchise at some point, but yeah, great biz. And it's the most dead simple fast food franchise I've ever seen in my life. And that's, yeah, it's honestly, I'll take it over Chick-fil-A. I'll say it. I don't want to, but I will.
Wow.
So the one I went to was directly next to a Chick-fil-A. So that's how you know it's good.
Oh, wait a minute. There's a Cane's in Portland. All right. I'm going to get on this.
Let's go, dude. You're going to be there in 2 weeks. Report back. All right. Get it.
So here's the controversy with the Jell-O shots. Is the guy that started Raising Cane's has been buying thousands of them at a time. Because he's an LSU grad.
That's awesome. That's great marketing. Jesus. Right.
And it doesn't go against like the rules. I mean, right?
What do you mean? Like, he'll just call up and just be like, give me 1,000, just pass them out in the bar. Thanks.
Oh, no, he's there.
I love that, dude. He's there. Just like, let me get 2,000 shots.
Yeah. Wow.
That's rad. And they're $5 a pop, too, which we were thinking last week they were two. So I've started to run some numbers.
Records are meant to be broken. Or no, I guess Rocco's.
Rocco's Jell-O Shot Challenge.
That's right. Trying to see if it says in here. I thought he was the Raising Cane guy. Sorry, I'm trying to look up a news story while I'm talking to you guys.
Oh, you're totally fine. So it looks like LSU is at 21,435. Florida is at 1,700. TCU, 3,000. Wake Forest, 5,500. Stanford, 720. Losers. And what was the last one on there? And Tennessee at 1,639. The thing that gets me while I buy Ted some time is that at $5 a shot, you're talking about well over $100,000. You're basically at $100,000 okay, so just from LSU.
Right. So the guy's name is Todd Graves. He's the head fry cook from Raising Cane's. And he bought
the head fry cook? That's awesome.
I mean, I'm sure. You're the main fry cook, or maybe he invented the fry recipe for Cane. It's like, either way, he's doing all right.
Yeah, but he got some stock.
He bought 6,000 at a shot, like at one time.
Oh, ooh. My God. That's, you know what I love about this Jell-O Shot Challenge is Jell-O Shots cost absolutely nothing to make. I mean, they are so essentially cheap. Free. We're talking about probably 12 cents a shot. So this from the business perspective, wow, incredible promotion. Their rent is probably less than this all year. I mean, this keeps the bar alive. Easy.
Yeah. I mean, the new like local spot I go to, like, they have great Jell-O shots.
Oh, it looks like all the proceeds actually go to the food banks.
Oh, it's even better. I just honestly, it sounds like a fantasy. Like, we're watching Maryland play in the College World Series. And then we're sitting at the bar. Sure, we buy a few shots. Matt even buys some. We drink them. And then some dude rolls in and is like, I'm buying $6,000 for this bar. I'll be like, it's like, fucking let's go. Now, I mean, I'm assuming they had to let him take some home. That's a lot of Jello shots.
Wow.
Seriously, like how many of these do they have ready? Do they just have a team of people making Jello shots like for months leading up to this? Like where you have to keep them all cold too. Like their walk-in is just a giant, like.
I mean, I assume if you're that guy and you're going to order 6,000, you got to call ahead a day or two, right?
I feel like they've probably got a refrigerated trailer at this point, like one of those like cadaver trailers that they like medical examiner and just pull it up to the back. Like Omaha's not that busy, you know?
You know, they also keep like slabs of beef in there, not just cadavers.
Well, I was thinking like borrow it from the medical examiner specifically, you know? It's like hopefully nobody dies during the College World Series.
I was just thinking about Goodfellas when they find the one body and it's like, well, it's mainly for meat and you're in Omaha. They probably got extra meat trucks just hanging out.
That's true. It is a meat town and
corn.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. I was there last summer. I think we spoke about it briefly and driving through those cornfields, it does not stop. They're just 1 mile by 1 mile forever. Forever.
Speaking of corn, shout out to Smith Family Popcorn. They opened the Smith Family Beer Garden this past weekend.
Nice. Oh, I got to get on that. I'm going to get a beer garden of my own then.
You know what? I'm going to get one too. Just call it Ted's.
Yeah, we're not giving up this easy, Ted. The West Coast will bite back. Tell the Smiths to prepare for war.
Does look good.
Let loose and release the hounds of war.
All right, before we take a break, as fired up as I was for Chris Stapleton, Matt, I know tomorrow night, game 7 for the whatever cup, I don't know the name of the cup, your Coachella Firebirds taking on the hated Hershey Bears.
Yeah, man. It's been a wild couple weeks. I mean, we casted last week. And now, yeah, it's 3-3 last night. You know, Hershey defended home ice, and then we came back here for game 6 and, you know, smashed them 5-2. And so it's 3-3 heading into game 7 tomorrow night. And yeah, it's electric down here, man. It's really cool.
Well, I saw buoys down there.
Buoys down here. Yeah. Bowie and Fuego are a dynamic duo. I mean, seeing those two in action together is. I mean, it's what the Calder Cup is all about.
You see what's it called again? In there?
Calder.
Calder Cup. Okay.
Yeah, C-A-L-D-E-R. And
what's the difference in level, right? Because there's, I know baseball. Is it like A? Like, how is it affiliated? Because, right, the T-Birds are like, what, like the lowest league, right? Because they're like 19. They can't even
Western
drink.
Western Hockey League, yeah. I forget that.
They're
the
kids.
AHL, which is what the Calder Cup is, but this is the direct feeder into the NHL.
Okay, so this is like AAA baseball.
It's AAA, yeah. So the Hershey Bears are the Capitals' direct affiliate, and every NHL team has a direct affiliate in the AHL.
And for you longtime listeners out there, you can hear the obscure sports fan Ted sinking his claws into a new one.
I know. I love it.
Well, these 2 weeks are usually set aside for a College World Series. But hey, you know, why not mix in some minor league hockey?
I mean, yeah, it's going to be a real fun game. It's going to be on Root Sports up there. It'll also be on NHL Network. This will come out. It'll be tonight by the time anyone's listening to this, if you hear it the day it comes out.
And did you go to the last two games at home?
I went last night. Dude, I didn't. It was sold out before the game was even necessary. Like, people were way too prepared. And I was not thinking that way. And so I didn't check till after they lost game 4. And I was like, oh, now it's a 6-game series. Let's get tickets for game 6. Sold out already. And I was like, damn. And I just am in some Facebook groups for Firebirds fans, and I just like posted how wild that was. And you know, how I was feeling really confident. And then, you know, I didn't even think game six was going to be necessary. I was already sad that I wasn't going to see another game. And some lady just messaged me and was like, "I got you, dude. Like, how many you need?" I was like, "Just two, please." And she's like, "Yeah." And so then she sends me the tickets within like 5 minutes. It was crazy. I was at work. I finished with my client. I looked at my phone and I was like, "Oh my God, what do I owe you?" She's like, "Don't worry about it. I just want someone that's going to be loud." And I was like, "Oh boy, I've had people leave that were directly in front or to the side of me."
You found the right guy.
Yeah.
Right.
Like 60 minutes of loud. Okay.
Yeah. And so they were center ice right above the glass, like the best level, the best, you know, section, you know, relative to just watching the game. And it was unbelievable. And yeah, last night was wild because there was just this, like, the first two games of the finals we were at, it's like this crazy excitement, right? But last night was like, this could all end right here. If we don't win, Hershey takes the Calder Cup on in our house. Like, so there was this like kind of edge to the excitement last night. And then I think tomorrow night's just going to be absolutely bananas. Like, game seven, you know, this is what it's all about. I mean, every sports fan hears game seven and just there's part.
Where's it at?
Huh?
Where's it at?
The game?
Yeah.
Oh, it's here.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Yeah, at home. I got tickets for that when I realized game six was sold out. I was like, all right, fine, I'll root for game seven now. Like, and so I'm gonna be fifth row tomorrow.
Nice. Yeah, we were talking about it today on the happy hour, and Miles goes, "Does Matt go?" And I was like, "Oh, he goes."
Almost every playoff game so far, yeah.
Well, because I make sure, like, you know me, like, I run the men's room Twitter. I make sure we follow Bowie. So there was a lot of good stuff the last couple of days. I'm like, guys, you got to see this Bowie and Fuego together.
Dude, you just true man.
Right. If they go out to drink beers with Gritty, I mean, I might just might be too much mascot.
Mascots behaving badly.
That would be mascots misbehaving.
Yeah, mascots misbehaving. That's right.
All right. Let's take a break here and we'll come back with emails. What's Matt in the Cop topic? All right. Welcome back. Thanks to all of our sponsors, beginning, middle, and end. Cop, do we have some emails?
Of course. Greetings to the greatest podcast. That's all he said. I'm sure many have sent this along
all the
to
land.
You. Yeah. I'm sure many have sent this along to you, but I just wanted to include a Jello shot update from the College World Series after one weekend. Also, these are $5 shots, so some money is being made for sure. Cheers, boys. Now, Ted, I'm going to go against the wisdom you've given me in the past. You said if people don't sign their name to the email, don't say it out loud. And usually I abide by that. I think that's a really good rule of thumb. But okay, with this one, I'm going to respond to this guy directly. Freeman, thank you for the email. It was dope. And the reason and the picture he included, I got a great kick out of it when I read this. But also, Freeman's picture of himself, his Gmail, is him in a cowboy hat, a suit, a tie, pink shirt, and aviators. So I just wanted to say, Matt, you can bleep this and you have to, but you know this guy f**ks. So I just wanted to give him that compliment. So thank you, Freeman. And no, nobody else did send us an update, so I appreciate the email.
I bet he was at Chris Stapleton and George Strait.
Dude, he's probably the business manager for Chris Stapleton with an outfit like that. He's getting deals done, boys. Hey guys, taking a year off work starting in August to get married and do some traveling with the wife. We are starting with 2 months in the USA, starting in Seattle and road tripping down to Crater Lake, over to Yellowstone, through the Canyon and Vegas, then finishing up the West Coast to San Francisco. I was hoping for advice. Perfect place to email. That's what we do here. Firstly, I'm visiting Seattle as a first timer, as well as Palm Springs, which is on our list. What are the things you would recommend to see and do? Things high on the priority list are sports, live music, and making the most of smoking the devil's lettuce legally. So far, we have Mariners and LA Rams tickets, and was wondering, how do I go about joining tailgates? Is that something that you can just turn up to, or do I need to find some groups online to get en route? Enjoy the summer, boys, and next season, we will win the effing Prem. Ted, C-O-Y-G. Harvey, the English doctor.
Nice. Come on, you Gunners. Actually, the tailgate scene in Seattle is pretty bad. Like, generally, if I go to Hawks games, well, I know of one. But generally, you got to get down there.
Sick brag, bro.
Sorry.
What's he supposed to do with that, dude? Come on. It's like, I know of one, but it's secret and you can't get in. And if you could, you probably couldn't afford it. Okay.
No, I'm just right. You're right. That sounded bad. Like, why no one? But it's like, I gotta stop adding that. I gotta stop adding that last comment. Like I said earlier, like people cooking food, making food, hot chicks. Like when I was back for my nephew's graduation, my buddy Sean looks at me, goes, "You don't have to say dudes every time." And I'm like, "What?" He's like, "Every time you talk about you graduating from DeMath, he goes, you go, it's 100. It was just 190." Dudes. He's like, I get it. So like you can go to Sluggers will be packed, but that's a cool little bar. There's bars around there. As we get closer, actually, I'll just have Cobb forward me that email and I'll send you an email too. See when the dates are and stuff. If I'm gonna go down to that game, I'll try to at least I could go down, maybe tailgate for an hour or two and introduce you to everybody.
Nice. That's yeah, man.
I was going to say, Mariners game, same thing. Mariners, go to Sluggers, go to King Street. I mean, there's Elysians down there, too. If you want to drink one of the men's room beers, you can go down to Elysian Fields right across the street. I mean, you're going to be in the same area for 2 days.
What's that spot right at the end? Okay, it's from King Street. You head towards the water, and it's on the stadium side of the street. It's like fairly new. They kind of, it's like a big, big spot. Our buddy used to host some little events there and stuff. They have the fires outside, out front.
Oh, damn it. They keep changing the name of it, but I was just there for the last day game Sounders game I went to. So I don't know the name of it.
What would that be? Was the corner of King Street and like third, probably?
Nah, I mean, it's right on the north end. So you talk about what used to be Quality Athletics.
Yes. I don't know right, what it is now, though.
Now it's like they've changed the name a couple times, but yeah, that's a cool little spot. And frankly, for the Mariners game, I would just get, if it's a Saturday, I'm guessing it is, if you're going to go to the Rams on Sunday, I would just get down there early. And then, yeah, I mean, NFL is a different beast. Like those places will be packed.
It looks like you can still find Quality Athletics on Google. So, yeah, just go to that. That spot's pretty good. Also, honestly, UW, I think, is a good tailgate. Wait, so he's wondering what to do. I feel like I always have some answers in this department. I work at like a big tourist spot called the Pike Place Market. And so I deal with tourists a lot. And the one tip I always give everyone.
That's kind of a humble brag.
That I work at a tourist spot and talk to tourists a lot.
This is used to like, it's a big tourist spot, like Pike Place Market. Like, yeah, it's like half the reason people come to our city.
Yeah. Well, I feel like, Ted, are you feeling bad about the tailgate thing? We can talk about it. I just felt like you were flexing nuts on this guy for no reason. We understand you're a celebrity in the city and you can get anything you want. You were in a box for Chris Stapleton, my guy. No,
I paid for it.
All right, that does actually make me feel better as the little man. No, the one thing I always recommend to people visiting the city is to take a ferry. There's one that comes in right downtown. It just goes out to a small island, but they're car ferries, which are pretty unique to the Northwest. And you can just walk on. It's like $5 or something like that. You go out to Bainbridge Island. You can walk around for a second, or you can just come right back. But it is well worth your time. You'll have an amazing experience. The Puget Sound is one of the things that makes the Northwest such a pristine piece of nature and really beautiful, and especially if you're coming back into the city around sunset. So that will blow your wife away. You'll have a great time. You get to see a bunch of nature and it's virtually free. So I would highly recommend that. That'd be my biggest tourist tip.
Bainbridge Island is a big one I send people on as well.
You've heard me talk about the 420 bank down here. That's got to be experienced in person. It's right on the main drag of downtown Palm Springs. I think Palm Canyon Drive and Baristo Road is the cross streets. And there's a great sized parking garage right behind it that you'll see on Google Maps. It's free year round. So, downtown parking's a breeze. I don't know if the Firebird, when did he say he was going to be doing all this?
Sounds like in the fall.
in the fall, so the Firebirds might be playing again.
All right, so he'll be in Seattle in early September because the Rams are here in Seattle on the 10th.
Nice.
Okay.
Yeah, I would definitely, if that Mariners
game... It's a great time to see Seattle. Sorry.
Yeah, I was going to say, if that Mariners game is like a 4 o'clock or 6 o'clock game on Saturday, like, Cobb's right. Go down, walk on that Bainbridge Ferry at like 10 or 11, go over there, get like some bite to eat and a drink or whatever, and then come back on the ferry and watch the game. And you'll find places to, like, Mariners game, even if it's sold out, which, who knows, but doubt it. But you can easily get off the ferry and still have a good time. Go ahead, Matt.
Yeah, sorry. And that's walkable. The ferry to the Mariners game is like a couple of blocks.
Palm Springs, if you know, downtown Palm Springs is pretty, you know, you can see it in a day and kind of start in that parking garage and work your way around from there. There's some cool hikes in Palm Springs proper. We're out in Palm Desert where there's another bunch of awesome hikes, and there's a, you know, really nice strip called El Paseo with a bunch of, you know, restaurants and bars and shopping that people come to. And so El Paseo and Palm Canyon are kind of like the two main, like, you know, strips to just kind of check out, and a lot of cool stores and restaurants and bars on both those stretches. But El Paseo's out here in Palm Desert. And then, you know, yeah, it kind of depends on what time of year you're here as far as what's going on concert and, you know, sporting event wise. The Firebirds are, you know, the main sports in town now. And then concerts, you know, there's like cover bands in every single restaurant and bar doing songs that, you know, and like, but as far as like actual concerts, you know, there's Coachella, there's Power Trips coming up. If you're down here in October, you might be able to make swing Power Trip from the sound of those dates. And then, you know, so there's like really big shows, but locally, like, you know, yeah, I would say just start at those places, look up some hikes if you want to go check them out. I actually live right by this one called the Cross Trail. It's got a bunch of great views. And I would also say drive up from El Paseo up Highway 74. There's like this awesome viewpoint, like, that you don't even need to hike for. You just drive and check out this awesome view of the entire Coachella Valley. That's right up 74, like 15 minutes up from El Paseo.
All right. What else they say? Bend, Crater Lake.
Tripping down to Crater Lake, starting in Seattle, Crater Lake, over to Yellowstone, through the canyon, and then Vegas, and finishing up the West Coast to San Francisco.
Yeah, I mean, Bend's just dope. Crux Brewery is like the only one. Not, it's not like super downtown, but it's super easy to get to. Awesome. Like, there'll be, I was there in February, and there had to be 250 people outside partying. Yeah, Bend's dope. Crater Lake's awesome. I would definitely check the weather. It gets really cold up there at like times of year you wouldn't expect. Yellowstone, I don't know. It's Yellowstone. Don't touch bison. That's a no-no.
Yeah. And don't call them buffalo. That's a big no-no. Ted, I've three emails for you. Does the one that you want start with the? No.
The Ted Smith at KSW.
Yeah.
Yeah, send it.
Okay. All right. You got it.
Don't send it to my private one, man. Can't reply to people.
Know which I had a couple KSWs on there, so I wasn't sure.
Also, if you really want to know a flex, tailgate in George Strait. Have a friend of a friend that have an office space right down by the stadiums, by the bars. Somebody from work was like, "Where you at?" I was like, "Come on by." And they're like, "Dude, the bars are packed." I was like, "Just trust me." I said the term a couple times. I was like, "Sit down in the chair." It's like two giant TVs with sports on. I go, times like this, you wonder what the peasants are doing.
Yeah, like, it's like, the bars are packed. Like, we have a space.
Right. What do you want to drink? You want a Jameson?
Ted, you're living that life, man. God.
I put in a lot of hard work in this town to find these spots, man.
Yeah, it's true.
All right, let's check in with what's maddening.
Hey, what's good? What's maddening?
Before we get to what's maddening.
Hey, what's good? What's maddening?
Whoa. Check out what's maddening.
Hey, what's good? What's maddening?
before we get to what's maddening.
Hey, what's good? What's mad?
Check out what's maddening.
We already talked about the Firebirds. That's, you know, taking over the town. You know, you just, I'm just getting in these little, you know, 20-minute conversations with random people, you know, about it, and seeing everybody wearing the gear and stuff. It's just, championship runs are just really fun for the community. It's just what I love about sports. And got to finish the deal tomorrow, but I'm just so excited that I'll be there. So that's the main, main thing. I gave blood this week for the first time. And that was pretty cool. You know, I'll admit that I did it for relatively selfish reasons. Namely, I didn't know my blood type, and I was like, oh, they'll tell me there, you know? And I was talking to a dude at the gym about how, you know, it's healthy for you to regenerate blood. And I was like, how do we regenerate blood? I know nothing about that.
Bone marrow.
Kind of tripped me out. And I was like, I think I'll go give some blood and like give my body a chance to do that. That's a cool feature of this thing. So they're relatively self-serving reasons, but I just feel like giving blood, there's always this like, be a hero, save lives, you know? And it's like, that's really cool too. When they told me that, I was like, wow, this is pretty powerful. Why haven't I been doing this for longer? But the initial pull was like very self-serving. And I just want to, you know, put that out there.
What's your blood type?
A positive.
Hmm. A interesting.
Plus. Yeah. Yeah. That's, yeah. I don't know what they all mean, you know, but yeah. I don't know what I'll do with that information, but I just don't know, you know.
I mean, full disclosure, I'm looking at you. I was at the doctor's 3 weeks ago getting some tests done. I'm not positive I know what mine is either.
Cobb, do you know your blood type?
Yeah, I believe I'm A positive, but my mom also was a dialysis nurse. So
we
dealt with blood a lot at the Cobb household. And I donated to like feed myself for like 2 years when we started the first Hygge Lounge. Shout out to Bellingham Blood Bank. What's up?
I mean, Matt, you don't drink anymore, but that was always what you heard too. It's like, oh, go give some blood. You'll be drunk after two beers.
Oh, that's awesome.
So you're watching hockey, you're giving blood.
Yeah. Yeah. The nurse at the blood place had these awesome custom 3D printed Firebirds earrings that I was a big fan of. And so, yeah, it's been good. Saturday, drove out to LA for my niece's 1 year birthday party. And I was pretty pumped that like amongst that sea of everyone, like she recognized me, you know, nice. And at one point, you know, one of the other girls, you know, my sister-in-law's friends, my brother's friends, whatever, one of the other girls of that age that, you know, was holding her. And then I came over and she just like reached for me and like lunged her whole body towards me, and I was like, yeah, this is June, we hang out, we go to the zoo, we've seen the giraffes together, I fed a giraffe with her, you know. And yeah, so it's just, I don't know, it's cool at 1 year old that she recognized me and chose me over someone else. I just felt really good about the whole experience. So I like that. A long way
and chose me. Also sound like you might have fed that kid to the giraffe. I fed a giraffe with her. Giraffes at the zoo are huge. Like, well, they eat small children.
Yeah. Just frequently. A piece of lettuce.
Frequently.
Dude, Cobb, you want to talk about profit margins? The zoo is charging $10 for 3 pieces of lettuce to feed the giraffes.
I respect that, but Matt, let me ask you this. How much money does it cost a year to keep a giraffe alive? Like, what does a giraffe veterinarian bill cost?
You're right.
I guarantee you there's only two or three of them in the U.S. and they're flying to all the zoos, man. It's spendy, okay? Ooh. They got real. They got hard costs, my guy. Hard costs. You want to help a rhino deliver a baby? I didn't think so. Call the guy. Call the specialist.
I also kind of like the idea of you just ripping off like $400 bills and being like, let all these kids feed the giraffes. Today, everybody has fun.
Still be like 10 heads of lettuce for $400. They're like, yeah, here you go.
So you got to smuggle in your own lettuce, boys.
I was it's just
like,
thinking.
It's like snacks to the theater, baby.
Is that crossing a line? Start sneaking in lettuce?
Not at all, dude. It's like that cocaine that they make look like other things. Like, oh, is this a can of gas? No, it's secretly made out of cocaine and dissolves when you put it in water. You know, like I feel like you could smuggle lettuce in there in many forms. Like, you could probably make a shirt out of lettuce if you really, you know, you really wanted to. Maybe an afghan or a blanket.
I'm thinking a giraffe's going to mind a little bit of taint sweat.
No.
I feel like though somebody selling the lettuce, there's some type of system where like you just pop in line with your lettuce.
Just like it's something to do, man.
I just don't want to get 86 from a zoo because I brought in my own lettuce.
All right. I got an alternate plan, boys. Trebuchet or catapult from the parking lot. Or one of those the water balloon launchers, you know, you zero it in and then you just let it rain, baby. Let it rain produce, my guys. Come on. Who's with me?
Oh, man. All right. I think it's about that time.
Boop, doop, boop, 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 boop.
Cop topic.
Cop topic. Today's cop topic. How would you launch lettuce? I mean, in theory, though, we need to catch the lettuce to make it the fun activity of feeding it.
Well, I mean, what constitutes feeding, Ted? You know, I think raining produce from the sky upon a bunch of exotic animals sounds like a good time to me. But I hear what you're saying. You don't get the like, what's that called? The kinesthetic joy of actually feeding the giraffe.
Mm. Yeah, there's children there, man. They want to feed a giraffe.
Well, would you rather launch 100 heads of lettuce or hand feed one head of lettuce? You know, that's really the economic situation we're up against here. $10.
Hand feed. I'll be dead honest with you. The zoo feeds the giraffe. Look, it's not my job to feed this giraffe. Just, I mean, look, when I was a kid, there's a place called Chincoteague Island. They have wild horses over there. And we went down there, and at the McDonald's, same thing. You put like 2 quarters in, and like a little machine gives you feed, and you could feed the horses. And I mean, I fell for that in the mid 90s.
God, I made the worst mistake, which was Googling what you just said. It looks like it. I don't know how you actually, what you actually call the, it's like, I don't know. It, the beginning of my Google search did not go well with that name you just said.
Well, it's called Chincoteague Island. I mean, it's the name of it. There's another island on the Maryland side, Assateague. And there's wild ponies over there on those barrier islands. And then once a year, they have a huge thing where the firemen in town are sea cowboys. And they rally up all the ponies and bring them over to town. And then they like auction them off. And there's like a festival for like a week with like rides and fried oyster sandwiches and all this kind of stuff. And then they swim them back across the channel.
Are these like wild Mustangs? What's
everything? Lady horses, too.
And they round them up. Firefighters round up wild horses. Then correct. Make them swim across a saltwater channel.
Correct.
Wow, dude. You guys, firefighters are built different out there. That's amazing. I know a couple firefighters around Seattle, and they have none of that knowledge.
They're not firefighters on a small barrier island in their defense. Wow.
That's impressive, man. That's impressive. Okay. Cop topic. So today I was feeling very proud of myself. I sent Matt a meme that I thought was dank and fire. It's just, what's his name? Oh my God. Of course, I can't think of his name now. Hey, what's the name of this famous actor?
Ben Affleck.
Ben Affleck.
Thank you. It's Ben Affleck's. It's just him sighing. And it's like when you're 10 dangs, 20 yups, 6 wows, and 8 damn, that's crazies. And they still won't stop talking. So for the cop topic this week, what's the best way to wrap up a conversation with someone who will not stop talking? Feel free to email us, literally the word email at thepodcast.com.
In person, on the phone?
IRL, in person, face to face.
Oof, that's a tougher sitch.
Yeah. I mean, it ain't easy. That's for sure. But like when you've like given significant grace period, you're about, you know, 30, 40 minutes in, and that just the stop signals are not being received.
I'm a body language guy. I just start pointing away. And slowly, like,
you point at nothing away. Or you point and say something?
No, just like my body, right? Like, if we've been talking for five, I'll just be like, all right, you know what I mean? Just like, I'm slowly kind of like making my, like, something should go off in your head, because I've tried verbal cues and those aren't working.
Yeah, that's honestly, that's a good way to do it. I feel like body language does sort of speak the truth.
We're talking one-on-one?
Yeah, hardcore.
Okay.
Oh, that's even tougher. I mean, one-on-one, sometimes you just sit there and take it.
Yeah, slowly, you know, being like the Homer Simpson meme and just kind of disappearing out behind groups is great. One-on-one, you know, there's going to be a point where they're talking and I'm not listening and I'm brainstorming what I'm going to say is happening on my phone and why that means I have to leave right now. Like, and I'm just going to pretend that my phone just vibrated and just be like, damn, that's crazy. I got to go for this. And, you know, but I'm going to be prepared and come up, you know, there's a lot of variables in these situations, and just come up with something that I know will get me out quick. And, you know, oh, gotta go, you know, and try and not make it something that, you know, they're going to have to follow up about, you know, like, because people go too dramatic and then they're like, how's your grandma? You're like, what? You know, I'd be like, damn, Tyler's got a flat. I got to run, dude, or something like that, where it's like, yeah, you know, it's nothing too serious, but it's immediate. She works from home. Shut up.
I mean, it's a tough question, too, especially one-on-one.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of a situation where I'm one-on-one with somebody I don't have something to do. Cobb, what's your technique?
I'm bad at it, man. I feel like, I don't know. I always prematurely, you know, I fear intimacy, so I always prematurely end conversations, which I don't think has gone well for me. But I'm always just like, as soon as the conversation dies, I usually like, all right, well, you know, and I'll like either start speaking to someone else or like, I mean, Ted, you've probably watched it. Like I do a pretty hard cutoff. It is not great, gracious or like smooth, but you know, I'm a little ruthless with it. I feel like it's just like, okay, like we've had our time, you know, I got to walk away. But when you're trapped in a sauna with someone, as I have been many times, that is a different level and you pretty much can't leave. So I do a lot of, wow, that's crazy, man. I usually get about three or four of those in.
Yeah, you do that. And also it kind of depends too, as I'm a chatty person, but sometimes you can just tell somebody to, like, you know, it's not like, if somebody doesn't want to talk in a sauna, you shouldn't talk. You know, like there's certain situations. I do it with Uber drivers all the time. You can tell if somebody wants to chat. Sometimes the dude does want to chat. It's like, all right, I'm not going to bug you.
Yeah. And you know, I'm not proud of this, but I've definitely done the fake hang up or the fake dropped call where you hang up as you're speaking. But that's only been a couple of times in my life.
Ted, you like a lot of obscure things. We've talked about the sports and stuff. Do you ever like double down on someone and just start talking about something that they're not likely going to care about and just start like, I see you're babbling and raise you a breakdown of what's going on in the cricket league right now?
Yeah, sometimes I will do like, I think one of the worst situations is it's like a long table of like drinks and like there's food, but you're not having like a dinner, but like you're just kind of at the end. I don't know if you're there with a girl or like a group of buddies and you're like the two new guys, which is like, all right, I'm gonna have to talk to this guy for a while. And if it's just whatever, like I'll just try to switch it, like just call them back, be like, whoa, wait a minute, we started with you're a big Mariners fans, like tell me about that. Like I'll try to find something to like, all right, now I care.
You brushed over the part that I cared about, let's double back.
Right. So your dog, it fell off this cliff. Is the dog alive?
Yeah, is the dog okay?
Yeah. The phone can be tougher too. And like some people just don't get cues, but it doesn't make them bad or anything. Like, I don't know. Trust me. I was guilty of it Saturday plenty of times. Kind of kept busting balls on people. And so it was like, hey, man, that guy's not finding that funny. Like, yep, my bad. But then when you go over to somebody and go, hey, man, I was just kidding. We don't really have to wrestle. And he's like, I was like, oh, man. Like, I'm just like, yeah, that didn't help. Now it sounds like I'm pandering. We don't have to wrestle, little guy. I was like, oh, this guy
in this hole.
Exactly, Matt. You know me. I'm like, what is going on? He thinks I really want to wrestle him? all right. We'll be back next week. And then, of course, we're going to take a week off for 4th of July.
Oh, yeah. Dude, I didn't even... Wow. That's just... God. Time, man. That's crazy. Yeah.
It
you
is.
Waiting for Let's Go Firebirds here or what?
You know what? Get it in, Matt.
Let's Go Firebirds. Yeah.
Go Birds.
You know what? Go Birds. For MCTP, for Comedy, Ted Smith is the podcast. Cheers.